you back in the power seat because you're using this financial leverage as an investment strategy versus, oh, I'm in debt.
Hey, goal friends. Welcome to Girl Boss Up and Lead with your host, Dana Marie, board certified personal and business credit specialist, author, speaker, and your super excited, extremely supportive business goal friend. Listen in as we help women in business leverage, elevate, accelerate, and dominate in their industry with proven sustainable financial tools and resources. Need to start, grow, or scale your business? We've got you covered. Enjoy our diverse conversations with industry leaders, entrepreneurs, mentors, and coaches as we chat about everything from branding and marketing to what it takes to run and maintain a successful business. Ready? Let's get it.
Hey, girlfriends, what's going on? It's your girl, Dana Marie, the Credit Fix Chick, back with another episode of Girl, Boss Up and Lead. Leverage, elevate, accelerate, and dominate so you can go from where you are to where you know you deserve to be and where you desire. So we are still inside of our financial literacy series. And in the last episode, we talked about budget. The episode prior to that, we talked about credit and its importance and how you can look at your credit score differently, how you can pull your credit report, where those resources are. And today I want to talk about how to deal with debt. You know, one thing I know is oftentimes when we hear the word debt, we often cringe because society would tell us that debt can be a bad thing, to stay out of debt, that debt is daunting. And some of those things might be true, but I want to help us to have a mindset shift because, in my opinion, once we shift our minds, we get to control all of the things as they relate to our finances. So this quick little mindset shift, I think in the last episode, I said, think of it as you just turning on the light switch to your next level, your aha moments, and then, you know, the flame goes up and you're like, oh yeah, I never thought of it that way. And now that I have a new perspective and I can think of it in a different way, I get to control the incomes and the outcomes that I want. So dealing with debt, in my opinion, is really a conversation about financial liabilities. And we know having too many of these financial liabilities and not enough assets can often make us feel as though we lack in some area of our life, or even that we failed in some area of our life, right? Here is a realistic view on getting comfortable with the debt as a word in your language, meaning how you can change that language and take back control. Debt is simply an obligation, right? We have an obligation to some extent to our significant others, to our children, to our employer, to ourselves as being self-employed and business owners. We have obligations, and yet we don't make those obligations in many ways feel like a heavy burden the way that we do when we talk about debt. Can I get an amen, somebody? Okay. We can also call this word financial encumbrances, right? We can say that they are our outstanding balances. And that just means we need to come back into balance. Again, taking back control of the narrative. Coming back into balance just means that I'm no longer in the red. I am now in the black. And because I'm in the black, that's a financial, you know, industry term. Being in the red means you have a deficit or it's negative. But coming back into black means that, you know, that number looks pretty positive. And I want you to go from the black into the green, where now you have the freedom and the flexibility for your money to go out and do what it needs to do and come back with those soldiers, as my granddad said, I mentioned in the last episode. Amortizing, simply meaning I'm just taking another route to how I approach these debts. Some of these debts may be loans. Some of them may be, other obligations that you have with creditors, so on and so forth. The fact is you get to say what you want to have happen and how you want that to happen, right? So I'm just pulling up here some of my notes because I want to make sure that I don't miss anything as we go through this very valuable information. One of the other words or phrases that we can use when it comes to debt, along with, I said already, amortization, financial leverage, right? Financial leverage, I like to say, this term is used to describe the use of borrowed funds, right, to increase investment returns. For example, I'm currently considering financial leverage as part of my investment strategy. Now, doesn't that put you back in the power seat? Because you're using this financial leverage as an investment strategy versus, I'm in debt, right? And then the last one that I would like to share in terms of how we can change the narrative on how we think about debt and the language we use to describe debt is structured repayments. Now, let me just say this one, it piqued my curiosity and my research because when we do think about debts, we know it's something that needs to be paid. Most debts, right, need to be repaid. That's what a debt is. It needs to be repaid. There's actually one more I want to share too. Instead of using the word debt or the generic term debt repayment plan, you're in a structured repayment plan. Similar to how I thought about bankruptcy. I thought of bankruptcy as the reset. It was a structured reset. And that's how I looked at it, right? I want to just drop two more. Fiscal responsibility. This helps you to reframe the conversation by discussing your commitment to your fiscal responsibility rather than the fact that I solely have debts, right? That means that now you're looking at your finances in a different way. You want to give them a true, healthy outlook through your actions of responsibility. Doesn't that make you feel different than I'm in debt? I'm in debt feels so heavy sometimes, right? And I use that word heavy even to mean good things. Like I'm heavy in love with some of my really close, good goal friends, right? I love what they're doing. But in this instance, the meaning heavy, it carries so much more weight. It feels burdensome. And the last one that I want to talk about here is strategic debt management. And this actually describes how you're going to handle your debt strategically. Now, all of these allow you to have a thoughtful approach. And honestly, it makes you also realize that this is strategic. And I want to give you some of those strategies as we go through, this episode on today. These are obviously much more sophisticated terms than using the term debt. And again, it allows you to take control of the language and really it really switches your mindset from feeling overwhelmed to in control. So now let's talk about this strategically manage debt. There are five methods that are widely known to help individuals really take back the narrative of these financial obligations, okay? I always like to go in reverse, so I'm going to go 5-1. So this way, if you're taking notes, you know, you are jotting these down. This can be in the order of what is most important to you, but this is how I view them, okay? So number 5, the DMP method or debt management plan method. Now, most of these plans are offered through a credit counseling agency who negotiates lower rates and or lower terms on your behalf and puts all of your debts into one consolidated payment. Typically, you send your payment to them and they send the payment to your creditors. So there are some benefits. And of course, to each of these that I'm going to mention, there are some cons. But the benefits to the DMP method is you have a simple point of payment. So therefore, if you have 5, 6, 2, 3, whatever it is, whatever that number is in your financial obligations, now you're taking a total of what they asked you to send to them and you're putting them into one payment and you're sending it to that credit counselor, that credit agency, and they will disperse those payments out to your grantors, the credit grantors, on your behalf. And sometimes this does help to prevent future debt. Just the fact that you've got to send this money out sometimes can feel a little overwhelming. And once you're done, you're like, I never want to do that again, right? So again, it has its pros and it has its cons. Number 4 is debt settlement. Now, with debt settlement, you're negotiating the terms directly with the creditor in order to settle the debt for less. Okay. So let's just say, for example, you were given a, you know, credit card of $500. Unfortunately, you fell on hard times. You're not able to make those credit card payments. And you want to settle that debt. Maybe they've now closed the card. It's showing up as a closed account on your credit report, and you're feeling like you can't move forward until this obligation is handled. And so you may consider doing a debt settlement. Of course, you would have to speak to the creditor. They have to agree to your terms. And oftentimes, this may require a lump sum. Or it may even be a structured plan for a set period of time. What I also want to add to this is if you're doing a debt settlement, you want to make sure that you know the terms up front. How is this going to impact your credit score once this debt settlement is paid? Because now it's not just a closed account with an open balance, which reflects very differently on your credit report than a closed account with a balance paid in full. So you want to make sure that you understand the terms and what are your negotiation skills so that you can get the best terms to satisfy this debt if you decide to go the debt settlement route. The benefits, you know, this can result in a huge savings on interest and a significant reduction in the debt. But you do want to make sure you understand how your credit report and or your credit score may be impacted by this, using this method. The third method is debt consolidation. Now, basically, with debt consolidation, you're taking multiple debts, multiple financial obligations, and you're putting them into a single loan, hopefully with lower interest, right? And that will ultimately save you money over the long term because you're paying lower interest. And you can do this in a couple of ways. You can do this by transferring the balance from one credit card, you know, to another that has a zero balance and maybe it has zero interest for 12 months. And you know that you're going to stay committed to paying that off within the 12 months so that you're not incurring more interest. The other way that you can do that is through a personal loan, which oftentimes will give you, depending on your credit score and your credit profile, a lower interest rate, or maybe a debt consolidation loan, which oftentimes you do want to look at what those interest rates are going to be. Okay, so that's number three, the debt consolidation method. Let me move over here to what the benefits are of that method. First and foremost, it simplifies, again, the payment for you. Now you have it into one easier, less cumbersome, and hopefully more manageable single point of payment to a grantor, a credit grantor, right? Versus having, you know, five credit cards over here, four loans over there. Maybe you're able to put this into one place where now you can say, I have one bill and this is all I've got to focus on. And sometimes having, you know, those different financial obligations is, and to see them in that way versus to see them as one and you see them as many, that could also be cumbersome. All of this is, you know, how our minds, how our brains receive this information. And this often goes back to those layers that we've got to really pull back and understand, where did we first have the relationship with money, with credit, with debt, with financial literacy? Because when we think about those things from that aspect, we can start really understanding our habits when it comes to money and finance and so on and so forth. Sometimes it's rooted so deep, it can go back to our childhood. And in those cases, we want to really discover and take note of what was it that triggered some of these emotions in your foundation. Because that'll help you in the long run to be able to really, you know, manage those things properly in a way that it's beneficial to you and not overwhelming. Okay. The number two method is the avalanche method. Now, these methods are that I'm sharing, the last two are really familiar for many of us, but the avalanche method, this is where you prioritize your debt based on the higher interest rate. Okay. So you look at, you know, that statement, you say this one has the highest interest rate, and you list them from highest to lowest interest rate. You start with the highest interest rate and you allocate extra funds to that debt, while at the same time, you're making at least the minimum payment to all of the other debts that have lower interest rates. This does two things. Number one, it helps you to still maintain that you're making those payments, which is good for your credit score, right? We talked about that in the first episode of this series, how it impacts your credit score and it impacts your credit report, right? The other thing is, now, it reduces the overall interest that you're paying in the long term. It helps you to also feel really great because you're looking at minimal interest over time. You've taken care of the big chunk, and now you're getting down to those smaller ones, and hopefully the money that you're saving, you're putting out to make it go work for you rather than you having to work for your money. When you do this and you're allocating those extra funds, you definitely want to make sure that for the others, you're not making less than the minimum payment, because you want to continue to maintain a good credit rating or improving your credit rating as you go along. Doing this may also give you a little bit of grace in terms of, well, what if now I'm starting this avalanche method and I had five cards and, you know, that first card is now paid off, the interest rate is done. Well, maybe, you know, as you're paying down the others, you can look to see where you have some space, right? Some space to do a couple of things. Maybe you want to do a personal loan or a debt consolidation loan for the others because the interest rate would be lower to do that. And that frees up your credit cards, right? Improving your credit utilization on your credit report. So there's a couple of different ways that you can really look at this and take back control of the financial narrative, because having that feeling of being overwhelmed just causes confusion, and a confused mind will do nothing. Okay. So I wanted to just share that. Now, the number one method, in my opinion, in controlling your financial obligations, your financial leverage, you're strategically managing your debt, is called the snowball method. Now, this snowball method is absolutely one of my faves, because this is the one that my granddad showed me when I was very young. You're going to list your debts from smallest amount to the largest amount, regardless of their interest rate. So this is different than the avalanche method, where you're looking at the highest interest rate. Here, you're looking at the smallest amount in dollars, regardless of the interest rate. You're going to focus on paying the smallest amount of debt first, while still making at least the minimum payment on all of your other debts. Now, why do you want to do this? Because when you focus on the smallest amount first, this helps you to get quick wins, right? It boosts your motivation to continue to keep going, because now you've taken the smallest amount, you've paid that, it's zeroed out, and now you can go to the next smallest amount. You feel in control again. Psychologically, we see that as a reward. I'm going to get into how this all affects your dopamine in the next session that we're here together, okay? We definitely see it as a reward, and it creates momentum. You feel unstoppable. I paid off the $200, you know, amount. I can pay off the $500 amount now because my money is freed up from paying the $200 amount. I paid the $500 amount off. Now I can go ahead and pay off the $1,000 because now I have, you know, the $200 not sitting over my head and the $500 no longer sitting over my head. I now have $700 that I can put toward paying off that $1,000, or however you feel you need to do this. I'm going to leave some information in the show notes that I think will be beneficial to most of my goal friends out there on each of these methods that I've shared, along with how you can really start taking these little steps, little tiny key steps, to build yourself a savings plan along the way. I hope and I pray that this information has served you well. Again, we are inside of our financial literacy series. In the next episode, we're going to be wrapping this series up. And I want to make sure that you get all of the gems and the nuggets that you came for. So I got to say thank you for tuning in once again. Please do leave your comments. Make sure you subscribe to the page make sure you bring a friend along, because when we go up together over here, girlfriends, okay? And I want to make sure that if you have any questions, you send those over to team@girlbossupenterprises.com. And until next time, stay well, stay safe, stay blessed. It's your girl, Dana Marie, Credit Fix Chick. Bye for now.
Girlfriends, we appreciate you for tuning in. Enjoyed the show? Awesome. Leave us a comment or ask a question. Don't forget, head over to www.girlbossup.info for your complimentary business scan to see what you may qualify for. And listen, you can help us have an even greater impact on women in business. Just go to wherever you listen to your podcasts, hit subscribe, leave a 5-star review, and a 5-star rating. Until next time, stay inspired, be empowered, and blaze your trail, bossed up and banked up.